Hey, thank you to our sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. Listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. That's BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. Big shout out to Helix Sleep. Take the 2-minute sleep quiz and they'll match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Find your perfect mattress at helixsleep.com/Stanhope.
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
All right. We going?
We are rolling.
Live from the San Jose Improv Green Room pre-show with Paul Kimball, who, if you caught the last special, Dying of a Last Breed, that was my closing bit, was about his, what's that word?
Late wife,
yeah.
Took me a while to come up with that word, too, when it happened.
Yeah, it was always weird with Shawcroft was saying that's it's Hedberg's ex-wife. You know, not ex. It's not ex-wife. It's former wife. No.
Yeah, it was a piece of language I kind of wrestled with. It felt real weird because it's not like we ever stopped being married until she stopped being alive.
Yeah, that's going to be odd. Yeah. The special is actually coming out. So this is fortuitously timed that we're here and you're here. I said, I thought we had you on the podcast, and Chaley thought so too. And we don't know how that didn't happen. But the special is, as we promised years ago, I said, eventually you buy it now or eventually it's coming out for free. And it's coming out for free, I think, 2 weeks or so. Soon on All Things Comedy. So, it worked out.
Tell me where you're at and what you're doing. So, where we're at here.
I just did.
You said you were in San Jose.
San Jose.
Oh, Green Room.
Yeah, I did all that right in front of you. That's Greg Bailey. He's going to set up merch and do things. And we have quesadillas and pretzels coming. So, it'll be a little chaotic. But if you haven't heard the story, Laura, your late wife, was a huge comedy fan.
Totally.
Were you both big comedy fans?
Yeah, but I worked.
Come on in.
She had the ability to not have to get up super early. So she went out to more shows than me.
This is how it's recording is onto my thing here.
What?
It's uploading through this because I can't find the Wi-Fi here.
Oh.
And I walk down the hall, go, I'll take a picture of the theater. Yeah, that would have knocked you guys off. No, you guys should be good.
All right.
But you can't take your phone with you.
I can't take my phone with me.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, no one calls you except for me.
Yep.
And I'll let you know if I need anything. I don't shut that all the way.
It's locked. So.
Yeah. All right. This is a clusterfuck from the beginning. Yeah. All right. So Laura, I don't remember the first time I met her. I know she was at the Green Room. Like, she was really embedded in comedy.
She was a hardcore fan of yours in particular. But she was a hardcore comedy fan.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah, she was everywhere.
And I can tell you when she first saw you.
Tell me.
Was at the Satiristas show up in the Throckmorton Theater.
Oh, wow. I was just thinking about that.
Because she came home from that show. I couldn't go. I was staying home with the kids. And she came back from this, like, Stanhope's going to be your new favorite comedian. We got to go see him together. So, like, it was that. And she was right.
That was a mixed bill with that. And this is Marin County.
Yeah.
So it's like high dollar, like very high dollar. Mort Saul was on the bill.
That's right.
The guy, not the shitbag Lars, but the other guy from Metallica was in the audience.
Oh, Kirk Hammett was there.
Yeah. And I always swore if fucking Lars from Metallica was ever at one of my shows, I'd have him fucking removed for all that shit they did with Napster.
That I respect
fucked
that.
Me.
Yeah.
I remember opening with, "Hey, you guys are out on a Sunday night. Don't you have people that have to get up and work for you tomorrow morning?"
I can imagine you making a lot of assholes Titan at that point.
Yeah, and then I started shitting on fucking Metallica, and it was awkward. And Mort Saul evidently was, as his handlers were walking him out, someone overheard him say, "I know they have the right to, but I like to say whatever bits I was doing."
Dude, that's a badge of honor if there was one.
So that was the first time.
That's the first time. And but it was only months later that we saw you up at what was it? Rickshaw stop in the city or something?
Yeah.
Was it the rickshaw?
Yeah. Punk rock standing.
Super great. One of the most fun live comedy experiences ever. Seeing you for the first time in a standing room only punk rock nightclub. It was freaking great. Great show. Great night. Win that bingo that night. And yeah, it was just a super fun. We've been seeing you ever since.
Being at the Comedy Store in L.A., and we had some tragic shows there, like drunkenness,
yeah.
Levels of cocaine and drunkenness that I remember we had our merch set up. It was me and Junior, and I had my merch set up, and I remember just crawling under the table because I didn't want to deal with selling merch. I was fucking hammered. I remember laying under the table, hiding from people, and then all of a sudden, someone's selling my merch, and I look up, and it's Laura Kimball's taking over the merch booth, just taking money.
She was a jump in and help kind of person. Like, totally, if she saw somebody that she liked who needed help, she was already working on it before they had a chance to ask for help. It was a really, really cool aspect of her personality.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a sweetheart. And the story is that she had, well, I know it spread to her brain.
Yeah. She had melanoma. And it didn't take very long for her to get really sick. It was, you know, about 13, February of 13, she was diagnosed, and she was gone by June of 2015.
Damn.
It sucked. It was really, really rough.
But yeah, and she, it always made me fucking crazy. She would come to multiple shows, and everybody that knows me knows how much that gets in my head if they're seeing the same act.
And she knew how much it fucked with you, and it gave her such pleasure.
And so once she got diagnosed, well, now I can't really give her shit anymore for coming to all these shows night after night, seemingly.
Yeah, what are you going to do, deny her her last gig?
Always sitting, you know, second row center.
Yeah.
The Laura Kimball seat. Refer to it.
And, but she loved the way you teased her, man. I mean, I think that was when you, right after she was diagnosed, and it was a really, really intense moment for us as a family, and you and your friends called her and mocked her and were like, you have cancer. It was hilarious because it was so inappropriate and so fucking beautiful. And
necessary,
and it let so much air out of the tension of that moment, and it made her feel seen and like, okay, I'm still me, I can still laugh, you know. And so that's why she made so much effort to continue seeing you as much as she did. I mean, she and Renee took a fucking train down the coast to see you because she couldn't fly. Once she had the cancer in her brain, you can't fly in an airplane. Your brain is swollen inside of your skull. It's dangerous.
French.
Yeah, Renee French.
Yeah.
She came down.
I fucking do have a memory.
Yeah, look at that. Just a couple cells still fired. So they took the train down together to LA to see you. That's when they did the podcast.
Mm. That's why I thought you were on the podcast. She was on the podcast.
Yeah, Renee was down there instead.
Yeah.
Again, I took care of the kids. I did a lot of kind of the back office work during the time when Laura was sick. But
well, you did well.
You know?
And yeah, laughter is the best medicine. And unfortunately, I failed her. She's dead.
Yeah. It's true. You suck.
But I remember, I mean, you've seen some really fucked up shows, especially here.
Yeah.
Usually here.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I fucking hate this room. I'm not a fan of the improv, but whatever. It's the thing that San Jose has. So I come to shows here, come to see you here for sure. But it's big corporate kind of thing, and whatever.
Yeah, we were just talking before this started about alternative rooms and what a crapshoot it is.
Yeah,
you know,
Yeah, it's never a crapshoot here. You know exactly what you're going to get.
So there is a comfort.
There is a comfort.
Working the improvs. You know everything's going to be set up. They let me podcast.
It's going to, yeah, exactly. For you, it's probably like predictable in all the right ways. Mm-hmm. For as an audience member, not so much. But anyways, you, again, when we came here to see you a few years back and you performed a silent tribute to Laura at the end of your act by just basically saying, you know, my friend's dying of cancer and I'm going to die up on stage in her honor. And then just sat there, stood there on stage and letting the room just get painfully uncomfortable while everyone tried to figure out whether it was the right moment to leave the room or not. And that was really one of the coolest tributes anyone could have ever hoped to have, because it, she eventually came up on stage and put her arms around you and gave you a way of leaving the stage. It was really cool, man. It was really cool you did that.
I remember that. What was her in with the green room in Provenza and all that?
Started exactly in the same spot at the Throckmorton on that Satiresis show. Like, she met Provenza that night too, because that was his book, right?
Yeah.
And so she made friends with a bunch of comics during that whole period of time up at the Throckmorton. And so we went to lots of different shows together to check out things. She went a lot by herself. But when Provenza started doing the green room, she was like, I'm going. I'm like, yeah, go. Have fun. You know?
Who did she hate?
Who would comedians did she hate?
This is a green room question, because we are in the green room. And we always ask our server, what's the worst comedian you've ever had, like diva-wise, that was a douchebag to...
Rob Schneider.
Really?
She fucking hated that guy. Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else, but he comes to mind for sure.
Did you ever walk out of a show?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I've seen some shitty comedians, and generally speaking, they're not the headliners that I've come to see. I've seen mediocre headliners, but never walked out because someone was...
Paul Kimball fronts a band. I have his album right here. It's called Wax. It's Wax Moon is the band.
Yep.
And the new album is...
Hello Morning.
Hello Morning. And you've been with that band for a while, because I remember...
Yeah.
Yep. She gave me a disc a long time ago.
I think the disc she gave you was from my previous band. I was in a kind of country rock band called Careless Hearts. And this is an acoustic folk thing that me and one other guy do, singing close harmony, and it's very different, but it's good late night, you know, morning music or late night quiet zone stuff.
Usually people who are that big of comedy fans are secretly want to do comedy.
Oh man.
Well, I didn't know if that was the case with you, but...
If I felt I could not laugh at my own jokes, I would love to have some kind of... I would love to incorporate comedy into the things I do, but I can't. I cannot keep a straight face. I laugh real easy. So, yeah, I stay out of that business.
Please hold. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Stress shows up in all kinds of ways, and in a world that's telling you to do more, sleep less, and grind all the time, here's your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy. Have you ever found yourself so depressed that you really have to convince yourself that Cobra Kai is interesting and you need to watch all 9 episodes today? I know the feeling, and when I get that feeling, I go to BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, so give it a try and see if online therapy can reduce your stress. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Doug Stanhope podcast listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. That's BetterHelp.com/Stanhope.
Now I'm sounding like an interviewer. We went out for lunch and I said, oh shit, you've never been on the podcast? Well, we're doing one anyway. Let's have you on. And then it immediately killed all conversation.
Yeah, now we're like, we can't talk about shit.
Yeah. Save it for the podcast. Now I'm asking.
Now the pressure's on.
Yeah. I should have written shit down, Tracy. Are you hanging out? All right. Get behind the bar. Get in your place, woman.
Get in my place.
Cheers.
Cheers. I'm going to hate you.
Thank you.
I'm trying not to clunk on that.
We were talking about getting back into performing.
Yeah.
You put this album out. It said the title is what? Give them your details where they can find stuff.
Sure. So the band is Wax Moon. The record is Hello Morning. It's a LP that we put out in April of last year. And, you know, we recorded it in the, I don't know, year and a half right before the pandemic. We just finished recording in February of 2020, and we're about to head into the studio to start mixing it when everything shut down. And so we, you know, all the studios became like one person capacity rooms. And so that left us out. And so we put it on the shelf for a little while. And then my partner, John, he's a recording engineer. So he was able to get into some studios and do some mixing on his own. And over the months we got it done. And then it's like, okay, you know, last spring, we're like, looking like things are opening up. Maybe let's put this record out and start putting our shows back together. And we started to gear up for, you know, playing gigs and everything. And then slam, Delta closed the door. And so we just, I'm sure you know this very well. We just like lost all momentum again and had to start again and building it back up again. Now we played one show, we got another one coming up a couple weeks, and we're just starting to get it back together finally.
Now, what type of venues do you play for a folk duo?
Well, so that's one of the coolest things about this particular group is that there's really no venue we can't play. You know, we can play a room like this with 12 people in it and no amplification whatsoever, and we can kill in a tiny little space. We can play on stage.
I thought like a Cafe Roca. Mm-hmm. Bisbee, definitely. The bistro where
we play a lot of house concerts where we actually, you know, play at people's homes, and we can, you know, that shit is so fun. That's like some of the most fun because it's super intimate and people are really surprised to hear like something that's actually good in someone's backyard.
Did you do any of that during the pandemic?
No. Well, we, in the one little window last summer when it looked like everything was going to open up, we had a party in our backyard and we had like four different performers and we performed. And it was all outdoors and it was super, super great. And it just whetted everybody's appetite for more. And then,
that makes me really miss parties we used to have.
Yeah, the compound.
Yeah. Having live music and comics. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's, I mean, I'm desperate for more of that, you know, and not just to do it, but to feel like the joy of it, like everyone being together and relaxed and sharing in these moments of like, hey, you're fucking hilarious. Hey, you guys are great. Hey, I've never seen her before. She's tremendous. Like all of the spontaneity that happens in those kind of moments. It's been so long.
Yeah. Now it's making me want to plan another farts fest.
Yeah.
Cause we've had like, blackguards on the podcast, and I've been on, Raylan Nelson.
Oh yeah.
Willie Nelson's granddaughter.
Oh yeah. She's a performer too?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. The Nelson family just never ends, does it?
Yep.
But I just, every time I talk to these people, I'm like, ah, fuck, we have to do a party. Now maybe we have to.
All right. Well, let me know, man. We got cars.
Mm-hmm. Cars? What, are you afraid to get on planes?
No, I'll get on a plane. I'll get on a plane. We have gotten on a couple of planes. We've done some travel as a family. Have you done much other than the work that you're doing now? Like,
yeah, I did a road trip first. I drove around like, mostly Nevada, Utah, just back roads for like 10 days or 15 days or something. And then I flew to Gibraltar for no reason.
That's right.
Just because it sounds like a weird place to go.
It is a weird place to go. What's Gibraltar like?
It's 2.5 miles of rock, bottom of Spain, overlooking Africa. And, I just mostly sat around and drank at a hotel bar.
It sounds interesting, though.
Yeah, we were just talking about, I want to go to Tahiti, but.
Oh, man. That was one of the things that happened to us is that, so my wife, she was studying for the bar. And
Your new wife.
Yes.
Oh, let's catch everyone.
Yeah, sorry.
Laura,
sorry.
Laura Kibble.
Laura passed away in 2015. And then a couple years later, I met Trisha. And she is an amazing person. I'm super fucking lucky to have met later in my life.
Let's get to the in-between.
Yeah. What do you mean? The in-between?
In between Laura and Trisha. Dalliances?
The less said, the better. But yeah,
I said, what can we talk about at lunch that you can't talk about?
Thought about that question.
What was your first intimate time after Laura passed that you go, oh, can I do this? Can I go through with this?
Yeah, it was someone I had been with in the past, in the distant past, and it was a really surreal experience. More than anything else, it was like it was great on one level because it was somebody new. I'd been with Laura for a long time, but at the same time, it was really weird. And it definitely, I don't think I was quite ready.
What was it? Wasn't it like a sympathy situation? Was it?
I don't honestly know. Like there was a lot left unsaid in that situation, but it was I got the feeling of someone throwing me like a life ring. Like maybe it was a sympathy thing. Maybe not.
But I mean, was it one of those conversations where it's like, hey, you're in a really hard place and I just want to be here for you?
No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that, but it was casual. I'll say that. And it was something that I was grateful for at the time, but it also took me, I knew after the fact.
Was it more awkward before or after?
After.
Yeah.
Yeah. After.
Like immediately after.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I got to go.
Yeah, it was like that. And I dated for a little while after that too. And again, I just wasn't quite ready. I had realized, you know, my kids and I were all going through a lot. And, you know.
Yeah. How old were they when she died?
So Milo was 15 and Frida, who now goes by Reed, she was 13. So they were young. This was just a really tough time for these kids. And they're, Dad, me, I'm spinning out too. Like it took us all a minute to get our feet underneath.
Yeah, she was young. She was 45, 44.
48.
48?
Yeah, but really young. Yeah.
She looked fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, before the cancer really came.
The cancer
in.
Fucked her up.
Yeah.
It did. But it was a really strange few years.
How were the kids? Did they want you to date?
No. I mean, I kept it very private because right. I knew my kids weren't ready. And then when I did start dating, it was difficult for them.
All right. And what about with Trish, the new wife?
No, by that time it was less so.
All right.
I think, you know, my son still struggled with it. I think longer than my daughter. I think my daughter
so now.
No, not anymore. No, I mean, I think he's in the process of really accepting that. She's my wife and she's so fucking cool and she's nothing but like open hearted with him and really wants to connect with both my kids. And so I trust that over time it's all going to be great, but you know, it's just an awkward.
She doesn't make them call her mother.
No, she has a really light touch and I think that's super appropriate and she's cool as shit. And so eventually, you know, my daughter came around pretty fast.
How did you meet?
Bumble. Dating app. Yeah.
I was guessing it wasn't a gig.
No, it was not a gig.
Most musicians
hook up after
shows, but not a folk duet.
Yeah, there's not a lot of panties flung at a Wax Moon show, I'll tell you.
Yet.
Yeah.
That's true.
Now that we've launched your career.
Yeah.
In the stardom, was Paul Kimball. From the one appearance on the Doug Stano podcast, I'm the new Carson.
Man, if I'd only known, I would have tried to get on this podcast so much longer ago.
Does your wife come to your shows?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she totally likes our band.
Because if you said no, I was going to say, let's not play this album.
Yeah. No, she digs it and she hears it a lot. So
that's like Andy's wife. I've known him 25 years. Never once did his wife ever come to a show.
Any shows, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's brilliant.
Yeah. And he's brilliant.
Yeah. It was always like, what kind of...
Does he want her there?
No. Probably not now.
So that's the thing. Like, there's a part of it
maybe
that
at
is
some point.
The arrangement between the two of them has something to do with it, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, now they have a whatever their relationship is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pretty, would, pretty then you'd separate. Be creeped out if she did show up.
Yeah, I think you're
right. Uh-oh, there's trouble. Andy, get off stage. Your wife's here. Go out the fire exit. I don't know what's going on. Should I call the cops? Do you sell merch after shows?
Oh, yeah.
Does your wife sell merch?
I don't think she ever has. But
Laura would have sold merch. I know Trish is going to be listening to this, so I just want to start trouble. That's funny. I'm drinking water. I know if I turn this into a cocktail, it's going to slowly. Actually, you know what? Since you're here, Tracy, why don't you pour me a gentle one? So in the bit, there, I do stretch the truth in that bit.
Yeah,
I did have your number in my phone.
Yep.
So
I'm sure that part was true. You were probably dreading my call.
Yeah. And that was what that closing bit on the last special is about. If you haven't heard the bit, is the fact that I'd known her for so long and seen her at so many places, and we've become friendly, and I've met you at shows. But I said, how am I going to know when you're dead? Because we don't have any mutual friends. And she said, well, I'm going to give you Paul's number and he'll call you. And so I had your number, just hoping it wouldn't ring.
Right, right.
And I remember, sure. I think I was working on my first book then. Shit.
You know?
I got a spell. Yeah. And I was over at the Quiet House.
Thank you.
Where's that whiskey?
Whiskey's, it's in the bag. It's illegal whiskey.
Are you just doing a couple cubes?
No big.
Or go home. I don't know why the fuck we ordered food right before we started this. Now it's going to sit there and get cold. But it'll still be better than that fucking Mexican food we had. So the phone goes off. I remember I was writing and
I think I texted you.
Okay. Whatever it was. Yeah. I know it took me a minute to figure out what to say.
Yeah, thank you.
And I thought of saying what the bit I say in the bit.
Yeah.
And I told, so I didn't actually say that. Well, I told you that I wasn't going
to
say that.
Yeah, and that was what I wanted to say was blank. And then, which totally made me laugh. And it was, and I was like, I'm going to just pretend that you did. And you're like, good, because that's what I'm going to say in the bit.
Yeah, there's so much of comedy that is shit you actually thought of as you walked away from a situation going, fuck, I should have said that. But I'm going to say it like that on stage.
So much of my adolescence, that was true, though. Missed the feeling like I couldn't fucking get words out in time.
Yeah.
But is it that French saying, it's like the thoughts on the stairs or something like that. As you're walking up the stairs after you had an encounter and you think about exactly what you were going to say.
Of course, the French should have a term for that. Yeah. That's a cool.
It's like Schadenfreude. Of course, the German is a great word.
Do you know the French word for this expression? I want to hear it.
She'll Google it.
Helix sleep. 2 minutes later, you're asleep. When I can't sing, they can't sue me for a violation of, Helix sleep. Sleep is the best drug that I'm waiting for sleep to actually be penalized by the federal government, because the best drug in the world is lucid dreaming, sleeping, and waking up strong and fresh, and fuck the outside world. Sleep is the best drug, and Helix Sleep provides the best sleep. It's like the Breaking Bad of mattresses. Yeah, you get that fucking hard ice kind of combination. You have no idea. Everybody's unique and Helix knows that. So they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, firm. Mattress is great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. And even a Helix Plus mattress for plus size folks. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the mattress perfect for you. I took the Helix quiz and I was matched with the Helix Sunset because I wanted something that felt soft. I slept on my side and I felt the Helix dragging itself into me. I felt, oh, I don't need a cat or a dog or a partner. I just need Helix. So if you're looking for a mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and that mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't even need to go to the mattress store ever again. Who goes to a mattress store? Just go to helixsleep.com/Stanhope. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up if you don't love it, but you will. Helix is awesome, but you don't need to take my word for it. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Find your perfect mattress at helixsleep.com/Stanhope.
But we've hung out a few times since Laura passed away. We've made Original Joe's our go-to.
This podcast was going to be sponsored by Original Joe's without their knowledge or consent, because it is maybe my favorite restaurant ever. It's old, what, it's like 1940s?
It's got a serious 50s vibe for sure.
Yeah, I think even 40s.
I think it's older than that, but I think they last remodeled it in the 50s.
It's and I think it's like an original bartender. The bartender's been there for fucking 75 years. Well, it's 115 years old.
Yeah.
It's got the old, vinyl.
Red vinyl everywhere. Dark, dark, smoke-filled rooms that you can still, even though no one smokes in there, it still feels like
smoke. Yeah. And they do perfect, old-timey cocktails and old fashions and whiskey sours proper.
Yep.
And the best fucking spaghetti and meatballs. And everybody goes there.
Everybody goes there.
Oh, is that the regular Joe's that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Original Joe's. And we were so excited to fucking hook up and have lunch there again. And they're fucking closed on Sunday. So fuck Original Joe's.
Yeah. We're on to some other Joe's at this point.
Another Joe.
Yeah, I was bummed my son couldn't get down quick enough on the BART train because he's now old enough to drink. And I'm like, oh, shit, you got to meet us down there.
Well, he's coming tomorrow night. Yeah, Santa
he's coming
Cruz.
Out tomorrow night, yeah.
And I remember that show. Was that the last time I saw Laura?
No, that was before the run of shows in L.A. when you did the podcast. Because that's probably why Jaylee was thinking I was on the podcast, because we were going to do it together that night in Felton. But for whatever reason, things didn't work out. And you were like, we'll just do it another time. And you
guys Everything didn't work out at that show. Yeah. I remember it was like a co-op of some kind.
Yeah.
And I remember some old docent that was watching the back door when I was out in the back parking lot smoking. And he told me to smoke even further away because it was blowing in.
Well, it was a Mexican restaurant, too.
Yeah.
And then, and I don't know which was the stronger of the two, whether it was the kind of DIY punk rock stage or the Mexican restaurant, 7 miles from downtown Santa Cruz.
Did you guys think you were going to Santa Cruz when you got there?
We were in Santa Cruz until we had to do the show.
So
and we went out to basically the Redwoods.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then we had Andy with us?
Yeah.
Because Andy had that weird guy that was supposedly molested by the same guy that molested
Andy. Oh, yeah. That guy was there.
And his dad or something?
No, that was my stepbrother and my birth mom's husband.
They were also there.
They were also there.
Andy was there with that guy, and that went weird and sideways.
I hadn't seen them in years, and then they come into the carnival with that guy spilling a story with the other Andy story, and it's like, wow, your friends are great.
Yeah, that guy buttonholed me in the green room and told me his life story. Andy's co-victim.
Well, we would have played it, except that he refused to release the okay after he told his story. He said, don't release that.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, that's back when we used to give people outs.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you wake up, what did we call it?
Morning
regret
or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while. That doesn't happen anymore.
No.
We make shit up now. In post-production, I add shit.
I remember like giving that guy like loads of shit from the stage. The guy that told me I couldn't smoke. Like,
yeah, you did a solid 5 minutes on that guy, and it was hilarious. It was really fucking funny. You were pacing the stage. You were so pissed off, and it was really funny.
I have no idea what I said, but I was.
I don't think I recorded back in those days, or if I did, that's a couple five hard drives ago.
Yeah, I don't know if they even had soundboards in some of those gigs.
In that room, probably not. You're all running all the amplification through like a single guitar amp or something.
I know we found a bar afterwards. I don't know if you were with us.
No, we split after the show. Okay. We hung out in the green room for a while and took off.
Yeah, there's a bar at the office. It was like a cop bar you could smoke in.
Who's going to bust you?
Yeah, exactly.
There. 8 miles from the venue, though.
Yeah. We're back down in Santa Cruz, right?
Yeah, yeah. We had to get out of the Angeles National Forest.
Were you there the last time I did Santa Cruz? Because I played in Santa Cruz proper with Morgan Murphy and Brett Erickson.
Oh, you played with Morgan? That's awesome. No.
That was, it's weird that this wasn't on the tour. Mm-hmm. That was. That was 5 years ago. That's yeah. Like 2016.
That was the Ventura one you were talking about, right?
We came up this way, so we went.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where we started. This was when Johnny Depp showed up at the Oxnard tour show, and I was like, we got third sold. just absolute tumbleweeds, which is fine because I was just starting out. Oh, that's why I was hosting. That's what I was doing.
Oh, the Friends.
Yeah, I was doing Doug Stanhope and Friends where I'd go up and do 15, 20, and then I want to check that. That might be our next podcast guest.
There is.
It's in my jacket somewhere. Don't worry, we're not in a hurry. I'd go up and host and then bring up Erickson and then go back up and do another 15 in between them, then bring her up and then close with it.
The only time I've seen you other than in San Jose or San Francisco was that one time up in Philly. I think I've seen you here three or four times in San Francisco, probably four times. I mean, I've seen a lot of your performances. I'm always happy to see you. Seriously. There's the blow and smoke up your ass section of the podcast, but I know there's very few comedians who I can watch over time. Like I will enjoy people for a bit. And then generally speaking, they run the same laps again and again, and I'm kind of done after a while. Chappelle changes all the time, and you change all the time. I like both of y'all a lot. I never get tired of either.
I guess your act grows with you, but how old are you now?
54. I'll be 54 in June.
All right. You're a youngster.
I'm rounding up still.
Yeah, I'll be 55 in a couple weeks. And, I used to be like you back when I was young. Hey, lady. Hi. Make yourself at home. We're just podcasting and stuff.
Nice.
Since you were going to be late, I had a jam and a different guest early.
Nice.
What did you do last night?
Last night we went and saw the Sharks play. Friends of mine have an arts collective in San Jose. Shout out to Local Color, to do lots of really cool shit in San Jose. And one of the things they did was an event with the Sharks where they had a bunch of different artists paint these little shark heads in different ways and auction them off with, you know, signatures by Sharks players on it. So we went to an event at the Sharks last night. It was really fun.
Who were they playing?
Nashville. And it was a blowout. It was 8-0 Nashville. It was really embarrassing. The Sharks couldn't pass for shit. So we left. We were like, okay, this is...
And what did you do afterwards?
We walked down to a bar that I'll recommend for y'all later. It is a really strange place. It used to be a blues bar called a New Orleans-style restaurant called the Poorhouse Bistro. And they had to move the restaurant. But over the years at the bistro, they built this patio with a stage outside. And last night we discovered that the patio and the stage are still operating as a bar, even though the house has moved. So like we saw it, we were walking past, like, that place is still open. We went in and had some drinks in there. It was fucking great. And there was a band playing. It's like way cooler now than it used to be. Because it's so freaking strange now. It's just a patio with
a
stage.
Did you close it down?
No, we just had.
The only reason I'm asking what you did last night is I noticed we both had the booze shakes at lunch.
Well, got home and then I got my own supply.
I was really happy on some level that Original Joe's was closed because I knew, I mean, so many of the shows that I've tanked here were because we started Whiskey Sours.
So many of the shows. I'll take credit for one of those.
I've been to Original Joe's without you.
I assumed you meant you and I.
Well, whoever was around.
Fair enough.
Or just me.
Yeah.
But I did have a margarita with you just because I was fucking. But I saw you eating tacos, and I'm glad I got something I could eat with a fork.
Here. Yeah.
Are you a regular boozer?
No. Matter of fact, if I was shaking, that was probably not from the booze. Probably just whatever. I don't know.
Man.
Nervous condition.
Wow. That's cool.
That I didn't know I had till you've observed it. So maybe you've just diagnosed me, Doug. I need to go to the doctor.
Are you going to tell Trish that you smoked a cigarette, or is she going to find out here?
She just found out right now.
Sorry, Trish. No.
You told me there's nothing we can't talk about.
No, you're right.
Was that just out of nerves, or are you a former smoker?
I'm a former smoker, and I'm still an occasional smoker.
I can't believe your kid didn't show up for this.
I know. He knows this. This is not a surprise to anybody. This is not like some earth-shaking news.
It would have been so much more fun to fuck with you if he was here. But probably not. I know about his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been interesting. He's a, you know, both my kids are very sensitive. They're both sweet fucking kids. And, you know, they've been through hard, hard adolescence. And they're both coming out on the other side as really, really cool young adults. But they both still have had a hard time. And they, you know, they bear the scars of it.
Is there part of you that's glad they're gone?
My kids?
Yeah. Did you go through like any kind of postpartum depression when they had to move on?
Trisha hadn't shown up with two kids of her own.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to ask you. If
then,
she had kids.
Then maybe we'd be having a different conversation.
Oh no. How old are they?
I was so happy for you till now.
12 and 13. So it's like going back to the top of the slide on teenage years. So yeah. Because Trisha's got these kids are with an ex who has the kids 50% of the time. So we've got a really great situation right now. We're 50% of our lives are as empty nesters, and then 50% we got these great kids to hang out with. So it's actually a pretty nice balance.
You like kids?
Yeah.
Do you get to yell at them and stuff?
You know, it's a great
question. You've been together for how long?
I should know that right off the top. 2.5 years, about.
All right.
Yeah. So. The kids, I haven't had to or wanted to yell at them yet. So I don't suppose there'd be any reason for me to hold back should I need to. But
how did they cotton to your arrival?
I think they like me. I think they like me. They seem to.
All right.
And, you know, they're still not quite teenagers. So as they get to be teenagers, the truth will out. Uh-huh. Like they're going to be, you know, food eater motherfucker pretty soon.
Food eater motherfucker. What about the ex? Is that civil?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She's friends with my bandmate's wife. So she's part of the kind of extended scene. So it's a good thing we're all copacetic.
Yeah, we know too many people in that kind of... Like Erickson was stuck in Peoria forever waiting for his fucking last kid to turn 18. And he talked about it for years and years. As soon as the last one's 18, I'm out of here. And I think it was probably happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Bye.
Get in the van.
Car's loaded.
My son lives in Oakland still. So he and I see each other, you know, every other week pretty much. And my daughter lives up in Olympia, Washington. We just saw her a couple weeks ago. I don't see her as much as I'd like to.
Yeah, Olympia's not a good town for depression.
No, it's a great town for depression.
Right. Yeah.
You got a lot of company. So she's up there suffering with all the other students at Evergreen State College.
Yeah, I don't know why she contacted me, but I give her my new number if she ever needs anything.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we have a crisis line.
Yeah, Doug is like a support system for our entire family.
Yeah, I feel connected to your family.
Yeah, we feel connected to you. I mean, it's a funny thing. It's a strange relationship in a way.
I think I met the daughter, didn't I?
I don't think you've met either of my kids. I know my son's really excited to meet you tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. For some reason, I thought I met the daughter, but maybe not.
Actually, Doug's not doing a meet and greet tomorrow.
That's fine. That's fine. Well, you know.
It's not clear.
We'll buy the VIP package next time it's over.
Paul, I have you on the list, but there's no plus one. If you can just sit in the parking lot and don't smoke by the doorway, because that old man gets really fucking angry.
You know what? The funny thing about you getting shit for smoking out back of that place is that me and Andy were smoking out front. And then my partner, John, my band partner, Andy smoked me and John out right before the show.
Chances are it's probably your weed anyway.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's Andy's weed.
It's not Andy's weed.
It wasn't Andy's weed. Yeah. Hurry up, let's smoke this.
Fair enough.
Okay, let's. I'm going to pour one more and say goodbye, Paul. Again, the website or
waxmoonmusic.com. We're on Spotify, Apple Music, all the places you can find digital music. Look for our LP, Wax Moon Hello Morning. We've got a couple other EPs out and stuff as well. Vinyl for Hello Morning is now available. Hit us up on Bandcamp. You get all that shit.
Do we even have a record player?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right. Well, we're not,
it's good morning after music. Find it. Yeah, when you get home and you're nursing a hangover, put on the Wax Moon record. It'll do you just right.
Fantastic. I am glad you came on, and it's good catching up. And hopefully tomorrow night I have new shit because he was at my show in fucking San Francisco, and hopefully some of it's different. All right. Thank you. Take us out, Bingo.
Okay. Bye bye now.
Cheers.
Cheers, buddy.